We're Kim
and Kendra,
two faithful skeptics who find Christ calling us
to ask all kinds of questions. Join us for our podcast,
Hold On,
Is That Really Christian? Hello, everyone. I'm back here with my good friend Kim, and we're just talking a little bit about a recent trip that she took to Austin. And the reason is because I want to know a little more about the work that Kim is doing when she goes to Austin, and to find out a little more about Texas Impact. And my guess is that, Kim, that many of our listeners probably don't know too much about Texas Impact in general, and maybe don't realize the representation that you and Texas Impact have down at the state capitol. Okay. So just to kind of start our conversation today, what is Texas Impact, and why in the world did you go to Austin?
Well, anyone who wants to go to texasimpact.org can get more details. But I can tell you that it is an organization that's faith-based. It's across several different faiths. And what they do is they work legislatively around different social justice issues. They're really important.
Okay.
Now, until a couple of years ago, their main focus was around things like the climate or looking at immigration issues, which are key, and many of our faith traditions address that. They also are concerned some about some of the bathroom bill that happened.
Oh, right.
And we can talk about some of the trans issues, too, that they have been tangentially related to. And voter, what I think is most important, too, they had a real voice down in Austin, unfortunately not successfully, to try to stop some of the voter suppression bills. The voter suppression bills
sure.
did pass.
Right.
So that's basically what they've done, and what they're about. What they've added, though, is reproductive justice or reproductive rights, or as a term they want to really introduce, is reproductive policy.
Okay, good, right.
Right. So for us on the religious side, we can talk a little bit about, at some point, the importance of using justice, because that's a very Jewish and Christian concept that we don't want to let go of more broadly. But for them, they want to see policy changes. So how do we do that?
Right.
And on reproductive rights, after the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade, they heard from a lot of their member groups who had never dealt with this before. Because many denominations, and this is what a lot of people don't know, but many denominations do not have abortion restrictions in them. They are, it's as if a lot of our denominations from a faith perspective have been ignored for a certain perspective that is against abortion in all cases. And so a lot of the denominational language around abortion is more nuanced than it's maybe would be
than is being represented and certainly understood.
Absolutely.
Right? That there's more diversity than has been recognized.
Exactly. So
They
had a legislative event with United Methodist Women. Well, it's actually called United Women in Faith, formerly United Methodist Women.
Right, okay.
And what we do is learn more about issues. We learn how to go and reach out to our elected officials. This was one of their most well-attended, too. So,
oh, good.
And this is not a year in which the legislature Texas legislature meets every 2 years, and this is not it, except there's a lot of special sessions being called.
Right.
The governor is very interested in vouchers, and the rumor is there may be another one of those in the fall or winter. Although the legislature will meet next year, 2025, in their regular session.
Okay. So this was in conjunction with a gathering of United Women of Faith.
Exactly.
And so were you the only person from North Haven who attended, or did we have other representatives there too?
We had two other representatives who came as well.
Right, great.
And
so we as a North Haven congregation have presence in this gathering that happens.
Right.
Okay, cool. So my understanding then is that when you were in Austin, you had an opportunity to participate in various sessions.
Right.
And that you kind of chose to go to particular ones, and other people may have gone to other ones. Is that kind of how it worked?
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. So do you mind telling us about one or two of those?
Okay. The session that I went to that I was most interested in was conducted by an OBGYN, obstetrician gynecologist.
Okay.
So right now, this is a very serious time for doctors working in that field, and there's some real implications for the fact that many people who are choosing that specialty are not wanting to live in the state of Texas. So we're going to be looking already at shortages in the rural areas are going to get a lot worse, and even in urban areas, we may lose or not have as many for example, specialists in high-risk pregnancies because of the constraints put on by the abortion bans.
Right.
So he was really interesting in that he schooled us in language.
Okay.
And I've told Kendra about this. This is a big thing for me. I spent 20 years in an academic medical center. I spent part of that time with what's called the Institutional Review Board. I was on staff. I was also on one of the boards.
Mm-hmm.
So being ethical means that you are clear in your communication, you use language that is appropriate, and you don't use really language that's hyperbolic or that misleads people. That would be considered unethical,
right,
and you wouldn't get by with a research study that did that.
Right.
So he was able to really talk to us about what I think is really important, which is the development from going from a zygote or blastocyst, which is the early stages, fertilized eggs, moving into embryo that goes to the 10th, about the 10th week or 11th week, and then after that is fetus. So when we use fetus for everything or...
Oh, that's even not accurate itself, yeah.
Right. And I've seen that happen too, that in some writings people will use one term. But more likely, those who don't like abortion, don't want it, who are behind some of the legislation we have now, they tend to use the word unborn baby, which is not accurate. It is accurate. You could say, well, if a baby happens, and the hope is, I always say this, people have deeply held beliefs about these things.
Sure.
And someone who is having a baby and their family members and their friends can call it an unborn baby all they want. That is the expectation. That is the hope. Hopefully it is a joyful experience for them.
Mm-hmm.
It may bring up all kinds of feelings, but there's anticipation of what's the baby going to look like.
Right.
You know, will it look like this person or that person or whatever?
Sure.
You know, what will they be eventually? And that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about elected officials,
right,
who use terminology that this OBGYN directed that is what's the appropriate medical term and what is the inappropriate term to use.
Right. So that was a really helpful session for you to kind of continue to do your work in terms of calling us to be precise
exactly
with our language.
And if I say one more thing,
sure,
Kendra, it is, you have brought up, and I think we both think along the same lines, those of us as Christians know the importance of truth,
right,
with through the teachings of Jesus, and using misleading coercive language I think is also a Christian value that we should avoid. That and let's wrestle with what the reality is rather than trying to coerce people or fool them in essence.
Right, right, to be untruthful. So, all right, so that was one of the sessions that you went to. Mm-hmm. Was there another one that that kind of stood out to you particularly?
Right. I was really only able to do a couple. I'm very interested, have always been interested in immigration. Unfortunately, was not able to attend that one, but a couple of our members did.
Good.
But there was a session that was really fascinating, and that was our trying out at different tables. There would be a table of about eight of us. We had a series of questions around reproductive justice or reproductive rights, and just asking people some of their thoughts, really creating an opportunity for conversations. And I believe that Texas Impact will be trying to get people to engage in those kind of conversations over time, that that'll be something that we'll try to do. And I think that's important. It's going to help us to get to the maybe a better policy or helping people understand some of the things that are going on about, if they haven't seen it, that some of the repercussions of the bans. But how do we have those conversations that I think are incredibly important on whatever the issue might be?
Right. That sounds like that was a fascinating session. I'm glad you were able to go to that. You mentioned kind of in passing that maybe you also had a couple other exchanges with folks there. Do you have anything else you want to share with our listeners?
I didn't. I had a lot of conversations and a lot of.
I imagine.
I am on their reproductive rights or reproductive policy task force for Texas Impact. So it was good seeing people who are not in little tiny boxes.
Right.
You know, on
Zoom. The Zoom screen.
Yeah, we're on Zoom every week.
Right.
And that's really been great.
Right.
But it's nice to have actually met people. And one of the things that we did as part of the meeting was at the end we had legislative visits.
Okay.
So they knew who my state rep is, representative, and my state senator, and had arranged for me to be able to meet with their legislative aides. Sometimes you can actually meet with the legislator, but a lot of times they're very busy. They're not really in session, so sometimes they're back in the district or wherever.
Sure.
And just so everybody knows, I'm sure that a state representative is going to be representing a smaller area,
mm-hmm.
and then many of those state rep districts fit under a state senate area, so you've got a representative within each one.
Right.
And if you're interested, in November we're going to be voting for those individuals, or in March when there's going to be a primary, that there's an opportunity to vote for the people who will run within each party. So if that interests you, sometimes that's where everything is happening.
Local.
Yeah, it's all local. So I was able to meet with my state senator's representative, and she informed me that one of the things that my state senator is planning to do, or is trying to do, is trying to stop some of these travel bans that are happening around the state. And he hopes to try to get some legislation in that way. I don't know if it has any hope at all of passing,
mm-hmm.
but that's important to think about.
Exactly.
How anybody, one, I don't think they know how they're actually going to enforce those. And if they do enforce them, that is very intrusive upon people.
Right.
So, and I think it actually goes against the Constitution of the United States. Because we should be able to travel freely. People are traveling to a place where they can get a free... not free, but a legal procedure that is not legal in Texas.
In the state.
And that's okay for people to be able to do.
Right.
So we don't have any prohibition like that. So there was that conversation. That was good. Talked with my state representative. Had a nice conversation with him. Not with the representative, but the legislative aide. And then I had a conversation with the chief of staff of someone I just had brought some materials to. And I find that very, very interesting, because this is somebody who definitely is very adamantly against abortion. He has proposed travel bans for the whole state of Texas.
Oh.
He has proposed some other legislation that, thankfully, hasn't really gotten very far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to talk with someone, and I have a real interest in pursuing the rationale that people have to oppose abortion.
Right.
So talking to his chief of staff, I said, I'm just surveying people. We determined that he'd be the person would get the information that would get back to me as I'm starting to compile all this. And I asked him to tell me what the rationale is, or what I'm going to be wanting to know from his boss, the state representative, is what is his rationale or reason for opposing abortion. And his question to me was, what do you mean by that? And this is not, I have asked this question before, it is not at all uncommon to get something like that. It's almost like it's just a given that you would oppose abortion if you live in the state of Texas.
Uh-huh.
Or if you're a Christian in particular, and I've had somebody tell me, oh, you can't be a Christian and be against and be for abortion. And it's like, where does it say that? Or where? Right. And then another one, where does it say conception? You know, right. If life begins at conception, and nobody can tell me.
Interesting.
So it becomes a sort of a, we have this incredibly consequential laws.
Right.
And at this point, I have had no really good response from anyone.
To your question.
To my question, why do you think this should be?
Right.
And then also, the only other one which was kind of interesting is the 14th Amendment. Somebody, one of the state reps on a conversation said, the 14th Amendment. Well, the 14th Amendment of the Constitution talks about those born and naturalized. Does not talk about a fetus or an embryo or whatever being, it's right. Not part of the Constitution. I think the point of that is to say, we think we want to change the Constitution to make it that. So, I mean, this is an incredibly, sometimes challenging issue to deal with people
right.
on. But, you know, I really think it's really, I would say, kind of annoying. I'm going to be nice about it, to hear people say, we have passed this law, we're voting for this law, we're trying to make things even worse and harder for people.
Right,
here.
But we have no reason why.
We have no reason why.
Right.
So we'll talk more about that in some of our other abortion episodes. I think you'll be able to see some of our take on why. Maybe
right.
that's why they're saying what they're saying.
Well, Kim, I just want to say on behalf of people at North Haven that we appreciate that you are making the time and taking the effort to go and to be a voice and to represent us and to encourage people to ask questions. And so thank you for doing that, and also thank you for sharing some of your experiences with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to answer those questions, Kendra.
We'd love to hear from you. Please contact us at podcast@northhaven.org. Thanks for joining our conversation. We hope you'll join us next time.
We thank North Haven Church in Dallas for sponsoring us, Larry McCain for music, and Chris Qualley for technical assistance.
If you'd like to know more about our sponsor, go to northhaven.org. That's Northhaven with one H. And on our website, you can find more information on our ministries of faith, mercy, and justice.